Well, during the last week, I have once again found a new appreciation for the English language and how quickly we can come up with new ways of saying things. In the past week, we've developed new vocabulary words and phrases that so aptly describe the remarkable reality of a pandemic, something 99% of us weren't thinking about really even a month ago, certainly not two. Two examples, social distancing and flatten the curve. They're marvelous. They're pithy, descriptive, and they're actionable. Both put into words why many of our people are staying home today. Social distancing is a quick way of saying, I can't catch a germ that I haven't been near. It boils a whole paragraph on good self-care down to two words. Now, flatten the curve describes the impact of social distancing for an entire population. We'll have lots of, well, here it is. Here's the graph. So, what this graph shows, and I'd never seen this before last week, it's been around since 2007. If you're an epidemiologist, you saw it. The CDC issued a paper on it in 2007. And it was one of those 15-word titles, like a PhD dissertation title. I'm not sharing it with you. But so here it is. Here's the number of cases in a pandemic. And this is time. And if you don't practice social distancing and good hygiene, what you get is a lot of cases very quickly, and to the point that it overwhelms the healthcare system. Okay, so with social distancing and with good hygiene, what we do is after we realize the pandemic started is we practice these things and it flattens the curve, okay, so that you never get to the point where you've overwhelmed the healthcare system. In Italy, they're here, or they've been here, and I understand in China too, but Italy was a little faster to tell us about it. But we're not there yet in the United States, so if we can get to this, you know, flatten the curve here and keep the number of cases that, so they don't overwhelm the hospitals, then we're doing that. And there's some hard choices to make as we do that. But this flatten the curve is how we do what we need to do not to make each other sick, at least not as quickly. And it boils a whole statistical concept, flatten the curve, boils a whole statistical concept and a practical way for us to love our neighbor down to three very understandable words. You're not going to forget this, are you? Phrases most of us outside of epidemiology are now common vocabulary for us. But it's also marvelous to me how words that are thousands of years old also have something to say to us during this particular time. Isaiah tells us that people of faith must take care of others. James tells us that people of faith must take care of others. Faith may begin in our heads and our hearts, but until it reaches our hands and our feet and hits the street, it's just doing really whatever we feel like doing. We're doing it for ourselves. For all of us, faith in action means washing our hands, using sanitizer, all those things I talked about earlier. Doing whatever we can to stop the spread of germs, even if they won't affect us, but might destroy somebody else. Now, again, sometimes, like during a pandemic, for those at high risk, hitting the street actually means staying home, even if you don't want to. I know that there is a story in the paper today about a woman who cannot visit her elderly father in an ALF. And she doesn't like it, but she's paying attention to that, not giving the facility a hard time because they're trying to stop anything from reaching this very vulnerable population. I know some people who have been having to stay close to home in our own congregation, stay close to home because they're having surgery or just recovering from surgery. Finally, the doctor clears them to drive, but now they're in the high-risk population, and so they have to stay home again. They don't like it, but that's exactly what they should be doing. So sometimes hitting the street means staying home. Not getting sick is the best way to help everyone. For others, hitting the street means hitting the street. It means calling the homebound. Thank you, Michelle. Are they okay? Do they want to chat? Some people, can you imagine how lonely and isolated some people are feeling right now? Maybe they just would like to have a moment on the phone. Do they need food? Do they need prescriptions picked up? So these are ways that we can hit the street in a pandemic and if we're not homebound. Our signs of life today in that that calendar that I've been handing out, and I printed some more if you don't have one. There are plenty back there. But in our signs of life calendar, we're focusing on food today. And there are lots of ideas. And again, if you want to bring in more food, we will take that to Dunedin Cares. And I have to say that a visit to Publix has shown us what happens when people do not focus on the signs of life, but just focus on themselves. If Isaiah were preaching today, he would be yelling at the me first folks who went to the store and bought a year's worth of food so that there's not anything left for the people behind them. Dawn Gordon, our parish administrator, got a call from a friend in Michigan who was just gobsmacked because she said the Kroger near her actually closed its doors because the only thing left was hairspray. People act this way when they go on a feeding frenzy, not a physical gluttony. They're not going to eat all that food this week, but an emotional gluttony. And what are they feasting on but fear? If we're going to have a feeding frenzy today, it needs to be on the Word of God. The message from God is consistent through the eons. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Be faithful. Be kind. Be generous. Love your neighbor. Do to others as you would have them do unto you. I want you to notice something in today's Psalms. So why don't you get out your bulletins and turn to the Psalm, which is on page 4. And let's look at, so it says, beginning in that third verse, some wandered in the desert wastes and found no place to stay. Thirst and hunger troubled them. Their spirits ebbed away. When they cried out in their distress, God listened to their prayer, and where did they go? And toward a city. Usually when we hear a story about people wandering the wilderness, we hear the storyline that was in the John Gospel of God raining manna down from heaven out in the wilderness. And that's kind of magical and fine, and I'm not sure what to do with that story. But a city, what is a city but a place of community and shared resources. This psalm, and it says that God satisfied their needs by sending them to a city, to other people. So those were the hands and feet of God, the people that helped those who needed something to eat, something to drink. This 3,000-year-old psalm speaks the truth for us today. We are all in this together. We are to be that city. The community that cares for each other. Remember, we're not about me, we're about we. The community that cares for each other and for the strangers that God sends to us. We, the church, are to welcome those who come to us for life. Which brings us straight to the gospel lesson. Jesus said, "Whoever comes to me will never go hungry." The church is the body of Christ today. The church is to be Jesus to the world today. And sometimes that food we give will be very literal. As I mean, someone's giving away paper towels. I mean, that is like gold. Amazon is out of paper towels. Amazon is out of toilet paper. I want to know who bought all. You don't need that much toilet paper, okay? A family of two will use maybe 3 rolls a week if you're like me. Never mind. You don't need 80 rolls of toilet paper for a month. So, oh, and toilet paper's up there too. Those people know God's heart. Okay, yay you. So the food might be very literal, like these gifts up here. It might be more intangible, like companionship, financial assistance, or doing chores and errands for the homebound, like I said, going and picking up groceries or medicine. We also can give the kind of food that can't be found anywhere but in a community of faith, a feast of hope, the promise of eternal life. Remember, eternal life is not only life after we die. It is sharing the life of the eternal one that we're here to worship today, either home or here, right now, right here and right now, as we listen to the message of God through the eons. The life of the eternal one is first the message, do not be afraid. Instead, live life, live the signs of life, give the signs of life, eat the bread of life. And eating the bread of life is not just about Holy Communion. It's about going into action to live the way that Isaiah and Jesus and James taught us to live, to do God's will on earth as it is in heaven. If you want to know what to do, ask, what is God's will on earth? How do we make earth look more like heaven? It's not to buy all the toilet paper at Publix. Do God's will on earth as it is done in heaven, and let us be the shining, the city. Let us be the city shining on the hill where the thirsty are satisfied and the hungry are filled with good things.